If the enemy's agenda is to stop you from giving, and it brings a problem into your life that makes it impossible for you to give, and you yield to not giving, you will stay in that problem. Your way out is to give thanks. The best giving you can give is when it is not possible for you to give. Because when you give them, it becomes freshness. Did you get that? It is now precious. It is now a real sacrifice. And that's what gets you out.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, before I get into the word for this morning, just a quick reminder again, today is our Mission Sunday, and the plan is to give towards Emuna so that they can do what they need to do. We can't be everywhere, but we can join. The Word of God says one chases 1,000 and two, 10,000. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So if you're giving today for missions, do mark it under missions. If you need a second envelope, ask for one and just put it under missions so that we, those who are doing the count, know exactly where those funds are supposed to go. Okay. I lost my notes. And I'm not going to go looking for it. So let's go for the word of the Lord. What I wanted to talk to you about today is about the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus. Things Jesus said and how important they are. Many times we read the word, contemplate on different things, and we forget about the red part. In some of your Bibles, there's a red segment. What did Jesus say? What did he say, for example, in the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter? And how important is that? Because many times we just read the words and just say, well, but everything the Lord said, he said for a reason. In Mark 11, he says to us that we should have the God kind of faith. Not another kind, God's kind. And he says it this way, he says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. What prompted that statement? The Bible tells us in Mark 11, starting to read from verse 20. It says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Interesting. You may say, what fig tree got dried up from the roots? Well, further down, in verse 12. It says, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, Bethany means the house of dates. When they've come from Bethany, the Bible says he was hungry. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Bethany is a house of dates. Say with me, Bethany means the house of dates. Now, it's interesting. The word of God says, on the morrow, the next day, when they were come from Bethany, which is the place where he would have had food. He said he was hungry. Sometimes our hunger is because of where we are not at. Hello? Sometimes you're hungry because you're not where the food is. It was not that you were not where the food was, you left it. And the point the Lord is trying to get to us is this feeling that you are experiencing right now, why are you experiencing it? Did you always have this experience? Was there a time in your life when you were not hungry? Where were you? I was in Bethany. But what happened to him in Bethany? The Bible tells us that in Bethany they tried to stone him because they were accusing him of being a false prophet. Now, sometimes, hear this, sometimes we move from where we're supposed to be because of other people's opinions of us. I hope you heard that. Other people's opinions and their judgments and their criticisms can cause you to leave the place where you're supposed to be, where you have access to all the food. Because in Bethany, there's no way he could be hungry in Bethany. You know why? Mary and Martha lived there. Hello? Mary and Martha lived there. And anytime Jesus showed up in town, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were so excited. They were the best hosts for him. But he is not there in Bethany. You can be struggling in life because you're not where you're supposed to be. Because of the criticisms and the judgments of people. Now, Jesus, understand that every movement he made for a reason. And there was a lesson that he wanted to teach us in that. And that's the first thing I'm talking to you right now. Bethany, he had all the food he needed. But now he is what? Hungry. Because he's not where he was supposed to be. Sometimes we broke because we're in the wrong place. We're not in the center and the will of God for us at that particular moment. Now there are times when God causes you to move. God tells Elijah when he had spoken out of his mouth to Ahab and said, there's not going to be rain nor dew, but according to my words. And it stopped raining and there was no dew and there was famine. He went and he was by a brook. And at that brook, he had all the food that he needed. But then the Bible says the brook dried up. And God said to him, I have a widow out there in a place called Zarephath. I've already commissioned her to take care of you. So he goes. And I think we read about Zarephath while Mama was reading the scriptures.
he goes to Zarephath. And when he gets to Zarephath, he sees this woman that's gathering sticks. And he says to the woman, "Woman, could you get me some water to drink?" And the woman turned around and says, "Okay, I'll get you some water." Now, understand that water was scarce where he was. It dried up. And so the first thing he wanted was water. So the woman turns around and is going to get the water. And he says, "Oh, and by the way, get me something to eat also." He doesn't know this woman. You mean just go to some stranger and start telling them, commanding them, get me some water and get me some hamburgers and whatever, steak. The woman says, "Hey, well, hold it. I know you might be a prophet because you dress like you're a prophet. But I tell you what, I only have a little bit of flour and oil. And I'm about to eat it with my son, and then we're going to die. I don't know what she was thinking. Elijah says to her, "Do what you need to do." She told him, "I don't have anything for you." But then she recalibrated her thinking. Some say recalibrate. Say it again, recalibrate. One more time, recalibrate. She changed her mind and said, "Okay, I don't have anything except for my son and myself. I'll make it and I'll give it to the prophet. We're going to die anyway. Let me give it to him." You know, that kind of thinking is the kind of thinking that will get you out of a tight spot. This that I have is not going to change my life, but I can do something with it. I can be a blessing with it. So she goes and she bakes and brings food to the prophet. The prophet is eating. She goes back and there's still flour in there and the oil is still there. "I gave it to him. I see him is eating. Where's this flour from?" Now she makes for her servants because she had servants. And everybody ate. And the next day they were still eating. And the next day they were still eating. For as long as the prophet was there, they ate. That's a situation where you left where nothing was to a place where it seems like there is nothing for you. And God turns it around and makes something come out of nothing. Are you with me? So, it brings us to this point. The man of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, lives, and the Bible says he was hungry. And he saw a fig tree afar off, verse 13, having leaves. He came, if haply he might. If haply he might. If haply he might find anything thereon. If haply he might find anything thereon. If by chance, if possibly, he might find anything. What does the word of God say? What? Any what? Any what? Anything. Does it say anything about any figs? It says anything. Well, you can assume that it means figs, but the statement is anything, which means it was not specific. Are you with me? So many times we want something resolved in our lives, and we are so laissez-faire about it. We're not specific. Anything. Well, he got there and he saw something. What did he see? He saw leaves. Are leaves things? Of course. Leaves are things. Can you eat leaves? It's called vegetables. But that's not what he was looking for. But he was not specific about what he was looking for. And so he got something, but not really what he really wanted. Are we together so far? You and I need to get what it is that we want by being specific about it. Oh, if I'm specific about it, I'll be limiting God. No, not if you start out this way. God, reveal to me what you want done and how you want my situation to be provided for. I believe it was last Friday I was sharing a testimony. The testimony was about how the full details of that particular testimony. My sister was coming in from Nigeria. We had a small vehicle. And if we go move around with her and her children, we needed a van. So I was ministering the word here. And out of my spirit, I said, "Van, come to me now." And I continued my message. The next day, somebody drove a van into my driveway, hands me a set of keys. I said, "What is this for?" He says, "For your van that's outside." I said, "My van?" "Yeah, my van. I had the van." I said, "Van, come to me now." And I said in my testimony, the only regret I have is I did not say, "New van, come to me now." I had the van. It was a good van. It drove me around. I saw miracles in that van. I remember my daughter, she was still little at the time. The transmission of that particular vehicle went off. You know, it won't change from gear 1 to 2. You know, you put on your car and drive, and then it will change gears. It froze in the first gear. So while I'm trying to drive, the car is revving. I'm not going anywhere. So this particular day, we both went to Mark Phillips to Seven Oaks Transmission. I think that's what it's called. You know the transmission place across from Royal Bank? Well, Seven Oaks, I think that's what it's called. I drove in there. The guy says, "Your transmission is shot. That's why it's not changing gears." I said, "How much is it going to cost? Give me this ridiculous amount of money." That amount of money I did not have. He said, "You see these metal pieces in the oil? That's your transmission."
I said, drain out all the oil, all that oil in there. Drain it all out and put new oil in it. I don't even think I had enough money to pay for the oil I was selling him to put in. He put in the new oil. He says, guy, your transmission is shot. This car is not going to get out of here. I said, just change the oil. He changed the oil. I said, how much do I owe you? He said, you don't owe me anything. You're coming back. You're not leaving. I said, really? I engaged my reverse because it could reverse. I reversed out of that place and drove out. Never went back. Transmission what? Fixed. Do you understand? The power of God can produce whatever it is that you and I need. But we've got to learn how to be specific about what we need. That's not the only miracle I experienced with transmissions. Thank God he has graduated me past transmission fixing. Because we had an eagle and we had to lay hands on it to fix the transmission. There are times in your life that things are difficult, but God is trying to help you grow up. Hello? Praise the Lord. Can I believe God for a time where there's no gas in the gas stations and I can still drive wherever I want to go? Yes, because I've seen that miracle happen. It's happened. One miracle after the other. But the fact is, child of God, we've got to learn the power of being specific. Be specific. What do you want? Jesus knows exactly what he wants, but he's trying to teach us a lesson. Don't just say, if happily I can find anything there. No, what do you want? It's a fig tree. So, get the figs. Does Jesus know that that fig tree doesn't have any fruit on it? Absolutely. He can read people's minds. He created those fig trees. He knows if that fig tree is supposed to be producing at that time of the year or not. He knows. When God comes asking you for something and you don't have it, does he know that you don't have it? He absolutely knows. So why is he asking you for it? Because he wants to do something for you. He wants to do something for you. I don't know how many times God, in his loving kindness and tender mercies, had emptied my bank account and says, it is his money. I want my money. When did you put it in the bank? Just give me my money. And what's God trying to do? Bless me. Is somebody listening? He wanted to bless me. He comes to this fig tree knowing that it was not the season for figs. The Bible is very specific. It says, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not. It wasn't a time for figs. But he's wanting to get something from that fig tree. The word of God says, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Someone say, Jesus answered and said unto it. One more time. Jesus answered and said unto it. He answered and said unto it. He answered. He answered.
Answered what? And said unto it. It means that he's talking to the tree. And if he answered and said unto it, it must mean that the tree was saying something to him. What was the tree bold enough to tell Jesus? It is not the season for figs. You should know. It is not the season for figs.
And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit. Oh, now you're specific.
So what he was looking for was fruit. Not if happy if he might find anything. He was looking for fruit. He says, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter, from now on, forever. Forever. Since you will not give it to me when I asked you for it, you will not be able to give it to anybody. Now, that is a dangerous statement.
What that means, child of God, to you and I is this. If God asks me for something and I'm not willing to give it to him, I dry myself up. I lock myself in. I shut myself down.
God wants you, when he asks you for something, to do it and stop giving the excuses. Well, I cannot give it because I don't have a job. He already knows you don't have a job. I'm unemployed. He already knows. The devil is never going to ask you to give anything. Never. Is the devil going to ask you to give? Because he knows that when you give, it will be given back to you. You'll be rewarded. You will be blessed. So he doesn't want you blessed. If the devil ever asks you to do anything, it's always to do something bad. Something that will bring a curse into your life. Never to ask you to do something that's going to bring the blessing. He doesn't want you blessed. He wants you in want. Jesus said, since you're not going to give it to me, you will never be able to ever give. You will remain in this state. What was Jesus trying to do for this fig tree? It was not the season for figs. And Jesus was trying to change the season of that fig tree. This would have been a tree that would have produced every single month of the year. It will always be like other trees, but this tree will be different from them all. Because you see, child of God, when he cursed that fig tree, not all fig trees were cursed. Only this fig tree was cursed. And when God was releasing the blessing, this tree was going to be blessed. And guess what? Every seed that was planted from that tree will that day, from that moment, become a tree that produces all the time.
Hello? The devil's a liar. When God heals you, delivers you, causes you to be prosperous, everything that comes out of you from that point on becomes part of that legacy, of that history. I am saved, so no child of mine is going to go to hell. Hallelujah. God has blessed me. No child of mine is going to be unblessed. Praise the Lord. Is somebody listening? You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying if that fig tree had just simply obeyed the instruction, Jesus coming to it and saying, I want fruit. And it knew the intent of the Lord. It knew what the Lord wanted. Even though the Lord was saying, if happily I'm going to find anything, it knew. When God wants something from you, you know. He doesn't have to spell it out. I remember Mama and I, just when we're about to purchase this building, we needed 50 grand for the down payment. And if we did not have the 50 grand by April the 15th, the $10,000 that had been previously deposited would be lost. On the day that we were to do the escrow, we were short $20,000. Mama and I went to our bank. She was at the Northgate Mall. I think at that time it was called Canada Trust. As I parked the vehicle, I heard the Lord. He said to me, I want my money. I said, your money? What money? He said, the money that you're saving for your house. Down payment. You've been saving for years. For years, we've been saving. We've not even saved up to 3,000. But it was in that bank. So Mama is sitting by me. I'm trying to wiggle myself out of this. And I say to Mama, expecting her to say no. I said to her, God says he wants his money. And Mama says, you mean the money in the bank that we're saving for the house? I said, give it. I looked at her cross-eyed because I needed help. Somebody to say, we can't do that. And I will say to God, we are not in agreement. Now she says, give it. I didn't know whether to be upset or to be happy. So I went into the bank. I cleaned out everything. Still, we needed 20 grand. I didn't know at the time. Within 2 hours, no more than 2 hours, the $20,000 had come in. Two individuals. One called, says, my mom said she's going to give money. The mom doesn't even attend the church. So we had 10,000. Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
shortly after that, somebody else calls in. We're going to give 10,000. We weren't broadcasting to anybody that we needed 20,000 or that we were short. We're just looking onto the author and the finish of our faith. I'm praying, Lord, let the $10,000 that's in there already not be lost. So the money was there. I called the chairman or assistant chairman of the board, building committee board, committee, and we went to see our lawyers. Sat across from them, gave them the complete $50,000, and he did his tabulation, and then he said, okay, for the closing fees. I didn't know you had to do any closing fees. I had no idea. I was so green about real estate issues. I didn't know that you had lawyer fees to be paid and all kinds of other stuff to be done. Guess what money that was? It was my money. So we had just exactly what we needed. Exactly. I thought I was saving that money for my down payment, and God was busy saving it for this house. Exactly a year later, the reward was in our first house that we purchased. The owner was asking a certain amount. We talked to the Lord, Mama and I, and he said to offer them $60,000 less than the asking price. Now, this guy was a Jewish lawyer. I mean, if you know, Jewish people know money. Praise the Lord. If you believe that, just wave. Okay, the rest of you that are chicken, I don't know what is the truth. 60 grand less. Now, in that house, there was a man living there with his family, renting from the owner. And that man had offered them $40,000 more than we came to offer 2 weeks later. And he had been rejected by the owner. But we come offering him even less. He offered $20,000 less. We offer $60,000 less. And that Jewish lawyer hands the house over to us. And the guy that was living in that house was kicked out. When we came, the guy asked, how much did he sell this house to you for? I said, a decent amount. He said, it must have been because I offered him this amount and he turned me down. That's when we knew what miracle God had done for us. How did that come about? It came about because when God said, I need this, we gave it. I struggled, but I changed my mind. I mean, if you know, it's a good thing to change your mind. The widow of Zarephath changed her mind. So at least I had a chance. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, watch this. He went into the temple and he saw people who were trading money changers. They were selling and doing all kinds of things in there. He said, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. He's upset. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. You are here busy trading and collecting stuff. He said, but this place is supposed to be a house of prayer. And so he kicked them all out and then brought in all that were sick and healed them all. Because that house was supposed to be a house of healing and deliverance and peace and victory, not all this nonsense that they were doing. They may have had wonderful worship times, sang amazing songs as people did their business and went in there, but the presence of God was not being utilized. God was present, but the people were not shifting into the supernatural. They were still stuck in their religiosity, as it is with so many people today, still stuck in patterns that is normal for them. That's what everybody does. This is the season. God wanted to change the season of that fig tree, and God wanted to change the season in that temple. What change is God trying to bring about in your life and in my life? And are you stuck to old patterns? Stuck to your old ways? Always coming up with a reason and excuse. So from here we come. The Bible says he brought all the sick in and he healed all of them. Everybody was healed. Everybody was healed. Except for one man. So who was that man? It was the man who had been born lame. He'd been born lame. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, he was brought to that beautiful gate every day. Daily he was brought there. I don't know what happened to him that particular day, but somehow, some way, he did not receive his miracle. Either he was not there, or he came late, or something. Everybody that came in to the temple, in fact, they were not allowed to be inside the temple. If you were lame or crippled, you're blind or deaf, you are not allowed inside the temple. It was even in the scriptures. There was a scriptural base for it. But God was changing the season. He was changing the times. And I believe that God this day is changing the season for somebody. Is that you? What does that mean? It means that you cannot relate with your life and times based on whatever has always been. You know, people tease and mock Kamala Harris for making this statement, unburdening yourself with the past. But you need to unburden yourself with the past. You need to unburden yourself with the failures of yesterday. You need to unburden yourself with what is a traditional system. This is how it has always been. No, unburden yourself with it and plug into what God is doing now. God is still well able to make a life that seems to be going nowhere to begin to move. He can, what is that W, what do you call it? That you spray, W10? WD what? 40? Okay, WD-40. God can WD-40 you. Hallelujah. And get the rust off. Get you moving. Miracles are in the house for somebody today. Oh, I've been praying about it, I'm praying about it. Nothing has changed. Well, today is a different day. Hallelujah. Today's a different day. If you are willing to listen to the instruction of God, miracles will happen for you today. I receive my miracles right now. Lord, whichever one you are dispensing, I take it. I take it. I take it. I take it. I receive it. I am forever changed for your glory and honor. Somebody shout hallelujah for me. Amen. Shout hallelujah for yourself too. Glory be to God. Jesus leaves Jerusalem and he's heading in the direction of Bethany. And the disciples see that fig tree. And Peter says, "Hey, Master, the fig tree which you curse is withered away." And the response of Jesus is this: have faith in God. Have faith in God. When God wants to change your season and cause you to be fruitful, when it's not time for you to be fruitful, God can do it if he has need of you. If he has need of you. In fact, this particular chapter starts with a donkey that never been ridden by anybody, not touched by anybody. And Jesus sent two disciples and says, "Go, loose that animal and bring that animal to me." And if anybody asks you why you're doing it, tell them that the Lord has need of it. Now, imagine, you have your Cadillac. You just bought it. It's in your driveway. It was actually picked up by a tow truck or whatever, brought to your yard, left there. Nobody sat in that car. Nobody has driven it. And then somebody comes, gets inside that car. I say, "Hey, what are you doing inside my car?" And the guy says, "The Lord has need of it. I'll give you good..." You talking to the Lord has need of it. Get out of here. The first miracle is that they allowed that donkey to leave that yard. Hallelujah. And that which had not been touched got touched. That which had never been ridden on got ridden on. You may not have experienced this kind of miracle before, but it's time for you to receive it. Have faith in God that he changes the seasons of people's lives. God has a season for me to be fruitful in him, and fruitful I will be. Amen? They said, "The tree that you curse is dead." And Jesus says, have faith in God. If you say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and be cast into the sea," and you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you what? Say. You shall have what you're saying. If you don't doubt, if you don't stop, keep on saying, "I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Father, I thank you that you've blessed me. Father, I thank you that this day is blessed. This is the day that I'll rejoice and be glad, and miracles are already destined and positioned for me." He says, if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. That child that seems to have lost his mind, all of a sudden will come back to their right mind. Hallelujah. That body that has been just full of cancer, all of a sudden every cancer cell dies. Whatever the problem is, it is solvable. Praise the Lord. I was born this way. Well, God can rebirth you. Praise God.
Are you ready to step into the miracle that God has for you? That's what Jesus says. If you have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, whatever it is that you say, you're going to have. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, whatever it is that you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Believe you've received it, and you're going to have it. Or, I've not seen it yet. Keep on saying what you're saying. In God. Don't start today. I'm blessed. I'm rich. I'm blessed. I'm healthy. And then tomorrow, oh, my leg is killing me. What are we doing here? What are we doing? I'm so broke. I'm broker than a church mouse. What are we doing? Are you going to believe God or believe the lies of the enemy? You can't straddle this thing. You got to be on this side or that side. So the Lord says through Joshua, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Choose today what miracle you're expecting. Believe it. I'm not qualified for that, for this job. Excuse me. I have seen so many people who are totally unqualified for jobs, and then God blesses them with that job, and they learn, because everybody in this life is promoted to a place that they are ignorant of. The first time you step into a new room, you have to learn that room. Everybody learns the new room. Choose that opportunity. Rise with me. Say with me, Father, I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And because He is my Lord and my Savior, I know also that this happened because I am crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not just me. It is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I have the faith of the living God in me. And today, I activate that faith, and I declare in Jesus' name that the desires that you have given to me are now being fulfilled. Everything is falling in its rightful place. I am enjoying this God life right now. I am blessed and highly favored. This is the day that you have made for me to rejoice and be glad. I celebrate your goodness and your mercies. And I say with David, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I say this day that just like my Jesus grew in wisdom, grew in stature, grew in favor with God and men, I am now growing in wisdom. I am wise. I am knowledgeable. I have understanding. I have insight. I have foresight. I am blessed in my going out and my coming in. I'm growing in stature,
growing in influence, growing in authority, growing in power, growing in obedience, doing the will of my Father. Therefore, I am eating the good of the land. Thank you, Father. I'm growing in favor with you and in favor with man. I am surrounded as a shield with favor. I am crowned with favor. I walk in the land of favor, for the earth is yielding its increase unto me right now. I know this because I'm not holding a grudge with anyone. I forgive those that have trespassed against me, and I am forgiven. I obey your word. Your word says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. I forgive, therefore I'm forgiven. There is no wall between me and you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen.